Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke 12, beginning from verse 27 to 31. Luke 12, verse 27 through 31. And it reads, "Consider the ladies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek, and your Father knows you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." This is the word of the Lord. I will now invite our speaker, Paul Williams. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Elder Wachuku for her participation this morning. My title of my message this morning is The Economics of Security. Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. We are living in uncharted times. We are living in a time where there are uncertain looks. We're living in a time where there are definitely challenging prospects to the future. But please know this. These are not the first time these conditions have happened on this earth. Many of the poor and destitute have experienced these conditions for decades. Mere subsistence existence has plagued the globe for millennia. But when the rich and highly affluent are affected, then everybody is put on notice. This morning, I would like to talk with you about three things. I'd like to define the word economics. I'd like to look at the Bible's warning against self-reliance. And then I'd like to talk about true security. Let us pray. Father, I ask you to hide me behind the cross, that you may be lifted up. Bless me. Speak through me. Guide me, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The British economist Lionel Robbins came up with a good working definition for economics. He said, "Economics is a science which studies human behavior as a relationship between ends and scarce means, which have alternative uses." In other words, economics is a study of how a society uses its limited resources. It observes how society, people, use money, scarce means, to acquire needs, known as ends, for themselves. While economics involves monetary and business acumen, It is indeed a social science like psychology, for it studies the behavior of people around production, distribution, and consumption of specific goods. Let's take a look at the beginning of the economic problem that plagues society today. Ever since banned from the Garden of Eden, humanity has been overly consumed with economic self-reliance. In his book, The Economic Problem in Biblical and Patristic Thought, patristic meaning referring to early Christians or the early Christian writers, Robert Gordon explores a position that mankind has been grappling with the economics of security since being thrown out of the Garden of Eden. Instead of obeying the creators, their creator, and remaining dependent on him, Adam and Eve chose an independent path. That choice got them expelled from the garden and made them responsible for their own provisions for the rest of their lives. It was not an issue of work, for they, while in the garden, had work to do. It was an issue of working under conditions which never before were imagined. In Genesis 3:17, the Lord speaks to Adam and Eve. He said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." So you see, man has been struggling with economic reliance, economic problems, self-reliance from the beginning of time. Once outside the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve lived under the curse of sin, and thus began that new paradigm of human existence. No longer under the total care of the Creator, no longer working in ideal climate, no longer toiling in pristine conditions. They struggle to understand, adapt, and survive in this new economy. And amidst the pressures for humanity to provide and survive in this type of economy, there developed a tremendous division between needs and wants. There were many who had the I syndrome. Look what I have done. Look what I have achieved. Look how much belongs to me. There were those who had so much but still wanted more. And there were those who had so little and just wanted a little bit. This dynamics arose over people trying to manage their self-security, economic security. Second point I want to bring to you today is about greed and self-reliance. The Bible records Christ speaking about money. There are over 2,000 passages in the Bible about money. Of the parables Christ taught, I believe the account is of the 39 that he taught, 11 or so dealt with money. And that was about 28, 29% of them. Almost 30% of his parables dealt with money. It's an important issue. More so, it does something to people. Money has been said to be an intoxicant. Some people are never satisfied with how much they have. Some people can only wish to have more. I heard an interview with Bill Gates this year. I don't know if it was recorded this year or last year. And he's being asked a question. And he said, you know, having millions of dollars is great. You know, you can do things with that. But he said, when you get into the billions, it doesn't do any more for you. You can only eat so much. You can only drink so much. You can only sleep in one bed at a time. So this idea of excessive consumption, greed, was spoken about many times by Christ. This morning, let's look at a parable where Christ spoke about greed. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke 12. Turn with me as we read about the warnings he gave his disciples and the crowd that were there at the time. The Bible says in verse 1 that they were gathered together in the thousands listening to Christ. And he spoke, "Be on your guard against the hypocrisy of the Pharisees," but he called it yeast because everybody understood what yeast was. It spreads, it infects in a good way. But that hypocrisy would spread and infect in a bad way. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees." Then he went on to say, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. Be afraid of those or he who can send the body to hell. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God." The Lord is teaching the crowd. The Lord is teaching his disciples. All were listening to the words of the Master. But we see in verse 13, someone interrupts him and says, "Master, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." So let's look at that statement. What can we learn from that statement? Well, a few things. The man speaking was a male. He had at least one brother. And he was unsatisfied in the way the inheritance was distributed. He may have felt cheated out. He may have felt that he should get a greater proportion. The custom was at the time that the firstborn would get a double portion, than the other brothers. So if a man had five sons, and he was at the end of his life, and he was going to distribute his inheritance, he would proportion it in six ways. Two to the older brother, the double portion, and each other brother would get one portion. Because the firstborn would often go into the ministry. The firstborn would be responsible for the parents. The firstborn would be responsible for the unmarried sisters. So this man is asking, "Lord, I want a fair share of the inheritance. I don't think I've gotten that from my brother. I want him to divide it fairly with me." And Jesus replied to the man, in verse 14, "Who appointed me a judge over you?" Then he gave the warning to the crowd who was listening. He said, "Watch out, be on your guards against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." Be careful, it will suck you in. Be careful. The more you have, the more you want. Be very careful that that's not the life you live, because your life cannot be measured by the abundance of possessions. Then Christ went on to teach that parable. He said, verse 16, the ground of a certain man brought forth an abundance. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and then I will store my surplus grain. Let's take a look at that, right? Let's break that apart. There's so much in there. The man in this parable was a farmer who had a bountiful and abundant harvest. And that was the beginning of the man's problem. He asked himself, he engaged himself in a conversation. Well, what am I going to do with all this money? Grain represented money. What am I going to do with an abundance of grain? And he said to himself, I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns to store this grain. See, the greed of the farmer was on full display for everyone listening. This man was already rich. This man said that I will tear down my barns, hire contractors, build new barns before the season's over, and store this grain before it spoils. So he's going to hire a tremendous amount of men to get this done quickly. This man was thinking about himself. I've got much, I want more. So the parable goes on in verse 19, he says, and I say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. So let's unpack that verse. The farmer revealed his understanding of economics. For those who have studied economics, when you chart a supply and demand curve, where they intersect is the price that people are willing to pay for a specific good or commodity. If the supply is limited and the good is a need, not a want, people are forced to pay a higher amount for that. Often, the price is determined from the market before. Certain amount of grain on the market, certain amount of buyers, and they agree to a price. However, if there's a surplus of the grain or that commodity, and it's a perishable surplus, the supplier or the seller will have to entice buyers to buy more or lose out. So he will drop the price and entice buyers to buy a little bit more. So this man was saying that if I flood the market, the price will go down and I will lose money. He was already very rich. But I'll lose money on selling this grain. So he said, I will tear down my barns. He didn't say I'll expand. Why? Because he didn't want to expand into the fields and lose an opportunity for that harvest for next year. So he said, I will just tear down. I'll get contractors to come in. I'll buy lumber, and we will do this as fast as possible. And I'll hire as many men as possible to get this done immediately. That is what the man was saying. And people understood this because that was an agrarian society. He doesn't want to expand. He wants to tear down and build up. So the farmer understood the economics. He wanted the price to stay stable so he could capitalize on that many years to come. But the parable goes on to verse 20, says, but the Lord came to him, you fool, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? The Bible doesn't say how the Lord came to him. If it was a dream, it was a nightmare. I'm telling you, this is your last dream. You know, what, Lord, I'm in a dream. You're done. Right now, you're done. Your life is required from you tonight. The Bible says he's called a fool, not because he was not excellent in agribusiness, not because he didn't understand market forces, not because he was not wealthy, because he was greedy and failed to recognize God's providence. I believe there's six times he said in this conversation to himself, this is what I will do. This is what I have. I. Failure to recognize God's position in your life. Failure to recognize that, hey, the sun rises and sets, not by anything that you do. Failure to acknowledge God. He was called a fool. Sometimes a man's excess abundance is best kept safe in the possession of others. How much money can you really spend? Understanding economics, if this man had sold his crop, the price would come down. Economists use the term a basket of goods to describe what people normally buy as they study certain forces. So the people at that time might have been able to save 10%, 15%, 20% in their grain. He would not have gotten as much for the grain, but he already had so much. Greed. Excuse your thought. Sometimes a man's excess abundance is best kept safe in the possession of others. And the Lord closes out this parable by saying in verse 21, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. This is how it will be. Your life will be required of you. You will not see the kingdom. So, with that parable being said, with the definition of economics being given, who is our security? If there's one thing everyone should know thus far in the year 2020, it is that there is no safe haven in this world. This pandemic has struck every nation in the world. The rich, the poor. The strong, the weak. Male, female. Married, single. Adult, child. No one has escaped this pandemic. No one has escaped its death or destruction. And right now, there is not a medical breakthrough available to help. So where is your security? I'd like to suggest that you take a different approach. Find some surety. Jesus is your surety. What does that mean? Surety is a person who undertakes some specific responsibilities on behalf of another. A person who undertakes the primary liability of a person. One who makes himself liable for default or miscarriage of another. For example, in the payment of a debt. Jesus fulfilled the penalty under the law of God. Jesus paid your debt by dying on the cross. Jesus has become your high priest and your surety. So I suggest you today, instead of look for economic security and being caught up in the rat race that doesn't end, accept the sacrifice and get the security and surety of Jesus Christ. After all, is there any other way? Can you think of a way foolproof that is inflation-proof, that cannot be stolen, that will not devaluate, except Jesus Christ? Was, is, and will be the Alpha and the Omega. Accept the sacrifice and get the surety and the security through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you. Thank you for helping me today. I thank you that despite this crazy pandemic, you are still watching out for your chosen ones. I ask that you bless us now. Help us to be focused on what is to come. Help us not to be distracted by what is here. Help us always to plan to be with you there in the kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you for joining us today. As our elder said, we will be here online from our Facebook page broadcasting until our church is reopened. Please stay tuned, and we will be looking forward to seeing you next week. Thank you.